Nutty Bites, because nerd girls are hot.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Jess, and I have another special episode for you. This is a panel that I recorded while I was at Balticon, and it is about podcasting on the cheap. So I hope you are interested in that, and stay tuned for that. I also wanted to mention that next month is the dog days of podcasting, which means I'll be doing a daily episode. I have come up with a theme this year, and the theme for this year is dinner and a movie. So I'm going to talk about things that I've seen, not just movies, but also TV shows and so forth, and make little bite-sized episodes for you guys to listen to and let you know the different things that are awesome out there that you might want to check out. And I'm going to also try to include some food in there as well. So maybe I might talk about a recipe, or maybe I'll just talk about like a meal that I've paired with this viewing material, you know, TV or movie. Most of what I'm going to pick is available on Netflix. So if you're looking for some cool Netflix recommendations, this is a way to go for you. Before we get into the episode, I just want to thank the patrons. The patrons are making Nutty Bites come out to you every single month, even when it's really hard for me to get things done. And it's great, and I love it. And if I get more, then I'll do more for you. The dog days will, most of them will come out as free episodes. They will not be charged. I will not be charging patrons. One episode will be a paid post, and then everything else will be just bonus material. And I hope you guys enjoy that. I'm really planning on most of the episodes being about 5 minutes long. We'll see if I can stay that succinct. I'm not sure. I'm a little too gregarious for that. But I hope you guys enjoy that. But in the meantime, I really do want to thank everyone who has been helping out. And in no particular order, I want to thank Lynette. I want to thank Shane. I want to thank Patrick, Jen, Harold, Ian, Aurora Lee, Kinsey, Susanna, Melissa, Susan, David, Aaron, Beth, and Frank. Thank you so much, everyone. Your patronage helps me do what I need to get done, helps me feel like I'm still doing this because people actually want to hear it. And it's helping me pay the increase in server fees this year. So that's definitely helpful. Thank you so much, everyone.
Welcome, folks, to Podcasting on the Cheap. I am Doc Coleman. I'm going to be your moderator. And we have got just a ton of podcasting experience here today. To share with you what we've learned the hard way so that you can save a few pennies getting ready for your podcast. All right. And my guests, we have Mike.
I'm Mike Luoma. I've been doing Glow in the Dark radio podcast since 2006. And I just posted episode 400 this past week. So. Yay!
Very lovely voice on that episode, too.
Well, thank you. I primarily just podcast my own fiction. That's how I started. I got started by podcasting my Vatican Assassin novel back in 2006. And once I podcast them on Glow in the Dark Radio, then I post them on a site called Podio Books, and that has proven to be a huge community and a huge part of, actually, Balticon in some ways. And so, I've been at it, and I've been doing it as cheaply as possible for these 10 years, and I'm happy to share what I've learned, so.
And Nutty?
Hi, I'm Nutty Nuchas. I have been contributing to podcasts since 2006, podcasting under my own umbrella since 2011. I've been teaching podcasting in public schools since 2007. So I definitely know how to deal with a budget there. And I was helping spread podcasting at CHSR, a campus community radio station, with really no budget. So that's my deal.
Right. Scott?
I'm Scott H. Andrews. I'm the editor-in-chief and publisher of Beneath Ceaseless Skies, which is an online fantasy magazine. And we publish as ebooks, as text online, as end-of-the-year best-of ebook anthologies, and as an audio podcast. So I'm coming at this as in a slightly different direction, as a hybrid magazine that does all these text things with our short stories and also podcasts. Our 200th issue on the website just came out last week, and our podcast is up to episode 176, I think. And I'm a sole proprietor, so I also do the engineering and a lot of the narration and all the audio editing and the production of the podcast as well. We've been a finalist for several Hugo Awards and World Fantasy and 3 Parsec Awards for the podcast.
Mark.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually on the panel.
You're on the panel.
I'm on the panel. But my name is Mark Decaffeinated1. I have been a podcaster since 2006 or 7, something like that. My main podcast, The Weird Show, just turned 360 for its episodes, which I'm very happy with. Would be more, but I took breaks from time to time. I've also done my own personal podcasting. I've done something called the Dog Days of Podcasting, a 30-day challenge to do a podcast every day. So you have to figure out how to do it cheap if you're going to do it every day. And I'm also the program director at the station that Nutty mentioned, the campus and community-based radio. And as one of the two staff members, I know exactly what our budget is, and it's almost nothing. So cheaply is all the way I do things.
Parsec Award
won. Oh, yeah. The Weird Show won a Parsec Award for Best Infotainment Podcast, which nobody knows what the category is, but I was happy to win the award.
And Laura Nicole's also on the panel.
So Paul couldn't make it, and you're subbing for Paul?
Exactly. Yeah. Because all right. I am Paul Cooley.
No, actually, Paul Ellis.
No, I'm Laura Nicole. I'm the Gypsy Pirate. I have been doing podcasting since 2005. Voice acting for Broken Sea Audio. I currently have my own podcast, Gypsy in the Attic, and I am also releasing my audiobook via podcast and in print, this Balticon Stoneware Case Files Bad Alchemy.
Alright, and as I said earlier, I'm Doc Coleman. I was part of the Galley Table crew with Laura for many years.
I think four or five years.
I also had my own podcast, The Shrinking Man Project, and I am now running the Balticon podcast. All right.
If you don't know, you can listen to all the panels you missed later.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all the ones that we get recorded. So, and that's why we have all these recorders. So, podcasting on the cheap. How low can we go? What's the entry level?
Okay, so we'll start with this is what I do whenever somebody comes to me, because I also do podcast mentoring, and they say, I want a podcast, and I say, okay, what do you already have, and what is your budget? So let's just start maybe just talking microphones, because that's the first thing people think. They're like, oh, I got to get a microphone. I got to spend $100 on a microphone. Well, I can tell you right now that when I work in the public schools, what I found to be the cheapest thing is, because they'd get a grant for podcasting, and I'd come in, but they wouldn't actually get any money for equipment, so they'd have no ability to record with microphones, and I can't have, you know, my microphone for every kid in every class. So what I would tell them is go home. Do you guys play Rock Band or Guitar Hero? Fish out the microphone from there. It's USB. It'll plug directly into your computer. And here's the best part. It won't pick up the rest of the classroom. It'll only pick up you. Is it the best microphone? No. But it's a lot better than some of the $70 microphones that I've seen out there. Okay. That is my go-to. And PG used it once during Beyond the Wall when his microphone was giving him problems, and he just grabbed a... I said, just grab your Rock Band microphone, and it worked in a pinch.
Go ahead.
You can get a good cardioid or hypercardioid mic at Radio Shack for $40.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, so... If you can find a Radio Shack or a Sprint store that's still got Radio Shack products, or you can buy it online.
But I went to Amazon, and the microphone cost $6. Shipping cost $30 because it came from China, but and I took a bit of a risk because it was an unknown. I didn't know the brand. It was kind of somewhat generic. I bought two just in case, two different brands. Both of them turned out to be spectacular microphones.
What kind of mic do you get?
I honestly can't remember the mic itself, and I've had it for like 4 or 5 years now, so all I see is the fuzz on the other microphone now. But we can't jump too far ahead here, because one of the problems with getting a microphone is, what are you going to plug it into? And the nice thing about, we've got a good array here of good demonstration products here. Because one nice thing is, you can get something which can do almost everything you need in something like these. These are almost all, we've got four Zoom products here. Mm-hmm. Zoom is a very relatively inexpensive recording product. You're still talking like $300 or $400 for some of them. I think the H1 is now down to $100 or $200, somewhere in there.
Well, actually, before we go into the Zoom products, I'd like to take a step back. We're talking about working with what you've already got.
Right. Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well,
so find
guess
a radio
what?
Station in your local area.
Yeah. Well, you probably don't have a radio station at your disposal, but if you're looking at podcasting, you probably have a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got a laptop computer, these days, those suckers have built-in mics.
I would go one step lower, and you might have a phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was
really good
say.
Apps now on the phone, too.
The problem with the built-in microphone on your laptop is you're going to get your computer fan.
But a lot of computers these days are also going to solid state, so you don't have disk drives, you don't have as much fan noise. Many years ago, when podcasting started, recording with your built-in laptop mic was a no-no because you'd get a lot of noise. But the technology has really improved, and the disk sounds and the fan sounds have really come down, so that now becomes a viable option. Not so much if you've got a desktop machine, because those are bigger and they generate more heat and they don't always have connected microphones. But if you're a laptop user and you're really looking to get started now,
I will say
that works. Smartphones work.
If you want everything in one package, a smartphone's pretty good. If you go to the Audio Boom service, which is what I use for my 30 days of podcasting, mm-hmm. I can record on the phone, I can do a minimal amount of edit, and I can publish right directly to the website for free. And the limit is you're only going to get 5 or 10, so it's going to be a limited short podcast, but if you're looking to try it out, and you want to get your voice, you want to get some practice, you want to get something out there, there you go. The nice thing about the limit is it actually keeps you from rambling too much, too.
So, in addition, I just want to also say is the earbuds with the little microphone on them. Mm-hmm. When years ago, those sounded horrible, and I would curse anyone who would try to use that for a podcast. But these days, they're better than those gaming headsets.
They
are so much better, and as long as it's not rubbing on your shirt, you're pretty good. Sorry, I don't mean to take over moderator, but other people.
Were you going to go into talking on my morning walks?
Not at this moment.
But
I could.
Go for it.
So I listen to Talking on My Morning Walks a lot, which is a podcast by Nathan Lowell, and he just goes on his morning walk and has one of those little earbud microphone things that he records on, which works really well unless the weather doesn't cooperate, happen.
And he records it on his smartphone, and as long as his apps don't come up and he loses half of the thing.
Right, right. So, I mean, you have ups and downs with using your smartphone, but most everybody has one, so it's a quick fix to get started, and especially if you're trying to come up with the consistency of producing content daily. It's something that you never leave home without. So, it's definitely something to consider.
I will, again, advocate for radio stations. It sounds weird, but I'm actually from a campus-based community radio station. Any member of our community can come in and become a member for $25 a year. That gives them access to all of our equipment. And the only caveat in my case is I insist that if you record something in a school, we'll put it on the radio, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really? I can go on the radio, too? So it kind of works out best. Not every community has a community radio station, but you might look into it and see what they have available. Even college campuses often have college radio stations there, and talk to them, see if they're interested, because they could use the extra content or even just give you instruction on how to do it. And that's a nice low-cost option as well.
And most of the time, all they ask for is that you keep the radio station clean and maybe you volunteer some of your time, because I have a similar thing up in Northampton.
And if you're younger, a lot of high schools are adding audio and visual labs into their schools. So,
what if you have a dynamic mic that doesn't plug into a computer?
Mm.
What?
You mean like an XLR?
So that's the that's why I was thinking we need to get a little back from just the microphone, because you usually need a mixer. So,
No.
I plug right into my old desktop.
Yeah.
And I have a long mic cable because you got to stay away from the fan noise. But I just went to Radio Shack 10 years ago and bought one of their, at the time, $30 mics, bought a mic cable, plugged it right in. Started using Cooletic Pro to record with because that's what I had for free at the time. These days you can get like Adobe Audition for $19.99 a month.
Or Audacity for free.
What's that?
Audacity.
Audacity is still free?
Yeah, it's still free and it's on most platforms. And it's remarkably powerful.
And Reaper is $60.
Well, before we get into that, I just want to address the fact that there are at least three different kinds of connections a microphone can have, and I think this will address that. One is USB, which is really easy plug and play. The next is XLR, which has got like three prongs on it. And then the third is a 1/8 or even the... a one quarter or even the smaller 1/8 plug-in mic thing that you can just plug directly into your computer. Now, the XLRs, sometimes as long as they have another power source or depending on how they're made, you can get an adapter to get a mic cord, and so that works. There are things called iRig and iMic that you can take XLR and 1/8 and plug and turn those into a USB, so that works as well. And then there's something called a mixer that you can put multiple XLRs and 1/8s into. And that's we can get onto that a little bit later, but I do want to make sure that people understand that not all mics are equal. They definitely have different connections, and it is important to know that because XLR mics can be really cheap, but then you need a good interface.
Yeah. You had a question?
Well, I have, I don't know if it's a suggestion or maybe it's a question, but could we get just like a basic, like, 1, 2, 3, this is what you need for A, bare bones or scrounging it. If you're scavenging for equipment, what do you need to put something out on the air? And then maybe step up to saying, if you actually want to like do this a little bit better, what do you need to go and look at maybe purchasing, even if you're purchasing like one item at a time? So what do we need to scavenge together?
So basically looking at the workflow of creating a podcast, you need to be able to record your content. You need to edit your content, and then you need to be able to publish your content. So first step of recording your content, we've kind of talked about various cheap, scrangible microphones.
I look for also those little portable recorders when they go on sale because people want to get them off the shelf. Mm-hmm. Look for those. I bought a portable recorder, which I had with me. It has a little slide-up USB port to transfer the files. Mm-hmm. I think it cost me $20.
Yeah, and it's some of those are good quality, but some of those are really dubious quality.
This was so on sale that they practically gave it to me.
Yeah. So editing, talk about editing process once you transfer it to your computer. We talked about Audacity. If you've got a Macintosh, your computer comes with GarageBand. What are the other editing?
So you can get
SoundForge is another
SoundForge
free file. It's not as good.
We mentioned Reaper, which is only $65 if you want
sixty.
Or if you want a more robust.
4060 Sony Acid Music Studio is a multi-track editor. It's really, for that amount of money, it's super super cheap.
What I tell everyone and what I have
What
I have the schools do is because if it's Mac, PC, Linux, whatever, you can get Audacity.
Yeah.
One thing to remember so that you don't get confused and say, they told me to use this, but I can't get an MP3, is you have to download the MP3 encoder separately, and it's just a plug-in. It's very easy to put together, and they have easy tutorials online. But Audacity is clean, simple, easy. Some of these other programs might be a lot more fun and easier to edit. I mean, personally, I love using GarageBand because it's just, it has been intuitive. I'm not sure I would pick it today. But Audacity is just simple, clean, you can get things done.
Yeah.
And so if we're talking bare bones, that's just the go-to. I can't really think of another free program that's not going to mess you up.
It's very easy to use for someone who isn't familiar with audio editing. And then as you grow as an editor, if that's something that you want to do, then you start looking into the programs where you can play with the sound files more.
Now, there's two problems with Audacity. One is that Audacity does tend to do destructive editing, which means if you clip something out, it is gone.
Yes.
While a lot of other editors do non-destructive editing, so when you clip something out, it still knows what belongs there. It just says, oh, you're skipping from this point to this point, and either putting them together or having silence between them.
Undo is your friend.
Undo is your friend.
Especially Audacity, they've added extra undo levels and more. You want a fairly good size space on your hard drive, though. So running out of space is the worst.
And the advantage to the destructive editing, though, is if your computer is not a good computer, like many of the computers at CHSR, if your computer is unable to run programs that have the memory to remember what was there before, Audacity is not going to crash it.
And sometimes you do want destructive editing, but other times you don't. The other problem with Audacity is, while it has gotten better in later years, it has a history of bombing off at random intervals, so you have to remember to save frequently.
Yeah, it has gotten better. It used to be a case where it would crash and there was no way to recover from the program itself. That got fixed. Now it actually has built-in recovery.
And the
price is free. You're going to get something which is actually, you know, it's got pretty good capability. It will get most people started, and I still use it on a regular basis. It's strong enough that I can use it for professional editing. For the simplest all-in-one, though, I am going to go back to Audio Boom. You can actually pay them for more time on each recording if you want.
Is that Audio Boo or Audio Boom?
They changed their name. It's okay. Audio Boom now.
Thank you.
It is an app. I believe it's available. I have it on iOS. I believe it's available on Android as well. The neat thing is you can record it. You get a visual display of the actual waveform of the audio, and you actually do the simple clip beginning and clip end editing, because most people... Here's a good tip for anybody doing any recording. Record sooner than you think you need to, and record longer than you think you need to. Because you may be recording something like an event, and you're not exactly sure what's going to happen, and you don't want to miss that first word, and somebody's going to say something right at the end, when most people have turned their recorders off, that you're going to catch. So definitely do that. And because of Audio Boom, you can simply trim the beginning and end off. It doesn't cost you anything. Now, it's time limited, like I said. I've been with the app for quite a while. They grandfathered me into 10 minutes right now per episode, which for a daily podcast is actually kind of fun, just walking around doing 10 minutes of audio. You can pay them to do a little bit more. The neat thing is, once you've recorded it, and then you can put the title on it, you can put a description on it, you can tag it with a couple of things, you can add an image to it, and click Publish, and now you have on the Audio Boom site an RSS feed anybody can subscribe to. So you've got a whole podcast right there. If you're just going to try something out, I really recommend that. Now, if you want to go to the next step, as they're saying, if you want to go to the next step where you're going to get some fancier stuff, or you're going to have your own website and all that, yeah, you're going to need some of these other things, like a microphone.
Right. Audio Boom, you've just encapsulated the whole workflow into record, edit, and publish.
Okay. There's another one.
Something. Bosch Doc has something. Yeah. Auphonic's very cool because it adjusts your levels, and that's really nice, and they have a limited amount per month, and then you pay for more. But, yeah.
Okay, we've talked some about basic recording, basic editing, basic publishing now.
Mm-hmm.
You're on a nothing budget. You've got a podcast edited. You need to put episodes. Where can you put them up for free?
Podbean.com.
No.
Podomatic.
No. 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 Okay.
There's some disagreement.
You can do this, and it is great. There is a huge problem with those guys. If your podcast becomes too famous, they will throttle you. They will turn you off until you pay them. I have known many podcasts that have had that happen to them, and suddenly their feed is dead because they don't have the money. And it is great if you know that that's coming and you can save for that. And some people will never reach that limit, but it is something that you need to know about, because I have watched people in tears because they didn't know what they were going to do. If you are putting out a podcast and you are putting it out Creative Commons license, which we can do a whole panel about Creative Commons. As long as it is properly Creative Commons licensed, you can put it up on archive.org free of charge forever. Archive.org is like the best kept secret, even though I keep trying to tell everybody about it, in podcasting. Now, if you want to retain your full copyright, all rights reserved, you cannot put it up there. If you want to put copyrighted music into your show for some reason, you can't put it up there, because you're now telling the world that this is Creative Commons and that this is free to share and share alike and all that, and you can't take it back down. But you can put it up there. You can set everything up. It doesn't create an RSS feed. You have to do that yourself. What I always recommend is WordPress. You make a free WordPress blog. You've got the
WordPress.com.
Yes, WordPress.com instead of WordPress.org.
You have to find your own hosting, and that costs money.
Yeah, and that's
money.
A whole other panel.
But WordPress.com,
WordPress.com,
you can set up a blog.
You can burn
free.
The feed. You can use one of the many RSS feed sites out there that will do it for you free. And that is fantastic because you can do it completely free. One of the podcasts that I mentor, they had donated space, and for some reason, the person who was donating their server space up and said, "You have till the end of the month to move because I'm closing my server down." And I had to help them move everything over to archive.org, but because they had always done everything according to Creative Commons, it was completely free, completely legal, and they never have to worry about it going away. And honestly, like, my plan is for Nutty Bites to end up over there, not because I needed to, but because if something happens to me and my server goes away, my files will be there for life.
I just want to unpack this a little bit, especially for the noobs here.
Yeah.
Because you had some, and I don't. By the way, I don't use that pejoratively. I believe you guys are great. Everybody, I mean,
everyone's a noob.
I'm a noob.
So I want to unpack a little bit here, because there's two things really we're talking about. We're talking about putting your file up online somewhere, mm-hmm. and we're talking about building something which references all your files.
Right.
And the first one is the archive.org. That's you get somewhere to put your file up online. We can talk about SoundCloud and about other services allow you to do that.
Libsyn.
They're up there. And Libsyn, it's a bit different. That used to be the king daddy, but it's changing. But that's to get your file up online. That's really super important. But that's not the last step. The last step is actually to build something which references those files in a nice, convenient way so someone can click on a subscribe button, get it downloaded on their phone or wherever they're getting it easily. And that's when we talk about RSS, which really just means really simple syndication. It's an agreed-upon format where someone can say, these are the list of my episodes, and someone else with an automated program can read through it. Now, how you jump that leap, WordPress is a great example. It has a lot of great plugins for managing this now. You literally just put the file name in there wherever it happens to live on the web. You post that with an article, and now someone has that in the RSS feed. They can download that. But I kind of wanted to make sure we emphasize there's two separate steps there. Because
there's hosting, then there's syndication.
Right, and not all, some hosting will give you syndication, most won't. We mentioned Libsyn. Libsyn's a really interesting example. It grew out of the fact that for a long time, website space was the most expensive thing on the planet. I think second maybe to water, and maybe possibly gold, but I think gold was getting down there. And it was really, really expensive to have your own web space. Nobody could do it. So Libsyn came along and said, we'll build a whole racks of these things, and we'll basically give this out for a fee. And they were dominant in the market for a long time. They still have a very strong place in it. But what's really interesting is a lot of website hosting companies now are now offering unlimited space. Now, you have to be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
There's two things you're looking for: unlimited space and unlimited bandwidth.
Yep.
The unlimited space means you can store the file up there. The unlimited bandwidth means as many people as want to get to your file can get to it. This used to be a real big issue because places would offer the first one space but not bandwidth. So people would have this podcast. It would get really popular, and then they'd get a $1,000 bill for all the extra downloads over the download limit they had suggested. So be very, very careful of looking at that. Some of them even say they are set up for podcasting. I honestly don't know what that means in half the places. I think that's just they're combining those two features together.
It means that their unlimited does not exclude podcasting.
Yeah.
Because many will say unlimited, oh, but we didn't actually mean podcasting, but we didn't specifically state
that. And we certainly didn't mean your video cast.
Yeah.
Right, yes. And now this has become a lot more affordable. I actually switched over my hosting company a couple of years ago. I was hosting, I went with a whole bunch of different places. I did Adam Curry's company.
Mevio,
yeah. Oh, I forget what it was called before. Which had a great little deal going on where they welcomed all these podcasters in. We'll host your files and give you all these tools. Oh, and by the way, we're shutting down now and you have to find your own place to live and all your old files are going away. So it's kind of scary to do that sometimes. There are groups that work together. I was a member of Farpoint Media for a while, which was a group of podcasters who said, we want to work together. We'll cross-promote each other. We'll have the space. It'll, we'll all work together. They also found it wasn't exactly financially viable to work in that form, so they kind of let it go as well. Those
that would
options.
Be called a network.
Those are networks.
There you go.
So I went to my own hosting. I think I'm paying about, I think it's $100 a year right now. It's a pretty darn good rate. Maybe 120, I think it might be 12 bucks a month. And I get all the things I need. I got storage space, I got that. Now, I happen to work with a radio station that also podcasts, so most of my stuff is there. But I did the experiment of the 30 days of doing a podcast every day where I would upload massive files, and they never said it worked.
Okay.
So I tested it out.
So what's the difference for... Because a lot of our podcasts are very from the hip, if you will. But with both of you, it seems like you both have scripted stuff that you podcast. So how is the regularity of podcasting different in that context?
For me, it's more, you mentioned Coolette, that's my software as well. For me, it's more a level after the microphones and acquiring content, where I end up putting a lot of work into editing the narration. I'm a little overly meticulous about the clicks and declicking and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's at that level, and that's something I would actually warn people who want to get into podcasting against. You know, don't get lost in trying to take every mouth click out. You know, find your niche, do your content, even if you're recording it off a laptop mic, mm-hmm. Or on a phone and uploading straight to a service. Because one of the things with the fiction that my magazine publishes, it's sort of a niche that no one else is doing at the time. It's literary adventure fantasy, and I think that niche sort of idea applies to doing anything new in our field. If you want to create a podcast, it's not really part of being on the cheap, but I think you need something slightly interesting and unique to say, and I would say concentrate on that and the cheap part and getting your message out there. And then later, when you want to get more overly meticulous about the quality or that kind of things, then Adobe Audition is cool that it is branded now, those kind of things. I think Audacity can do multi-track, can
it? Yes.
As
mm-hmm.
I recall,
yes,
right.
Yeah.
You can get into things like that. I've done large cast stories where I end up with the multi-track window stacked up. Not so much on the cheap, but I think those things are there later once you're out there with your message and your unique contribution and reaching people.
And thank you for saying that bit about being passionate about it, because that's the most important thing. You could sound wonderful, but if you don't care about the topic,
right.
Nobody's going to care.
And that's why I think your built-in laptop mic is not a horrible idea.
No.
Budget is really important to you, especially starting out, testing the waters, then by all means, use the laptop mic. Get your unique message and vision out there. Start trying to connect with listeners and find them, and then get a better mic.
Yeah. Because you can always upgrade later.
I did find that I couldn't use archive.org because I'm not giving my stuff away, Creative Commons.
Right.
So I did have to go with a service, and I started with Podomatic because it was a free service.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like Nutty says, you reach a point where they're like, yeah, you're using too much bandwidth and we're not going to give you any more storage. So then I started paying $9.99 a month. So I'm doing that. But I'm also reaching a point now where I'm going to have to look at where I'm going to go next. So mm-hmm. I might do the Libsyn thing because that seems like a greener pasture. But I've got to look. But at the same time, you can start there. You know, at least with a place like Podomatic, or was it Podiobean? Or
Podbean.
You can at least see if this is something you want to do and start doing it and get it out there and see if people respond to it. I mean, at the very least, it kind of walks you through it step by step a little bit, too, as you're publishing on the site. So it gives you an opportunity to kind of learn by doing. So I understand what you're saying.
No.
At the same time, I'm saying, you know, you can go for it using these.
Yeah.
I apologize if I was a little too emphatic about it. I just really need people to understand the limitations before they start.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Jim, I had a question over here. Copyright.
Yeah, actually, two questions. The two services you said to avoid because they'll throttle you if you get popular. Could you just repeat the names?
Well, I know Podbean is one, and Podomatic is that separate or is that the same thing?
Podomatic is a separate company.
Okay, sorry.
I mean, it's just that, you know, if you're getting it for free, they're only going to give you so much.
Yeah.
Second question, and this is clearly a newbie question, podcast versus videocast. Does podcast include video, or is it audio only?
So podcast is traditionally audio only. Videocast is obviously both. And some people will syndicate both. So, like, with the galley table that Doc and I used to be on, we would do a video cast, and then we would take out the audio and put the audio in a RSS feed for people who just wanted to listen. I do the same thing with Gypsy in the Attic.
And actually, the BaltzCon podcast is primarily audio, but every now and then we actually get content that's on video, and we'll go ahead and put that out in the same feed.
Yeah, as if it's in the syndication, it's the podcast.
Yeah.
If it's not, it's a separate thing.
Now, if you're strictly wanting to do video, then you may actually be better off doing a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Because you can record your video and upload it. You can actually record your video live onto YouTube.
The one difficulty with that is you won't really get the subscriptions away from YouTube.
Yeah.
You will have people who will be able to watch it on YouTube and subscribe for notifications on YouTube, but if they're using their phone, I guess they could use the YouTube app, but they're kind of restricted.
Well, there are ways to strip out the audio if you're looking
just for audio.
Also,
yeah.
Give the audio customer, like, what is the word? Include audio people who are just there for the audio.
Exactly. Yeah. So you had a question?
So I noticed that you guys didn't mention iTunes at all. Is iTunes, like, really expensive to use?
No, actually, we talked about record, edit, publish. iTunes is the last stretch of it. It's the connect to your audience.
It's
the distribution.
It's not even distribution. It's promotion.
It's just a direct.
Yeah. It's promotion.
It's second level distribution.
Yeah. Now, the issue is, many years ago, there used to be a lot of options.
iTunes actually doesn't host your files.
Yeah. Yeah.
iTunes links to the files wherever you're hosting.
That's why I call it promotion.
You have to have something created for it to be on iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes is basically a place for people to go to look for podcasts. Now, the reality is, they can't find all the podcasts, but everybody knows it. Everybody thinks to look there. If you're not looking there, then you're doing Google searches for the kind of podcast you want. And of course, iTunes won't touch anything that's got adult themes or is otherwise controversial. But if you're not in that...
It's not true. You just got to know how to search it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they won't be listed in the iTunes catalog. You could still use iTunes to pull down the feeds.
I think
but they won't be listed in the iTunes store.
You can search for them in iTunes. They won't show up on their podcast page.
Yeah, okay.
It's a little trickier.
That must be new. So
also, aren't they finicky about what they even let in the first place? You got to really like dot every I and cross the T. I read the terms.
Your graphic has to be the right size.
Your graphic has to be the right size, and they will not allow SSL as Beyond the Wall discovered when we lost our iTunes page and our 5 years of iTunes reviews, because we were good citizens and made a secure site, and iTunes does not want your RSS feed to be secure.
Yeah. They've got a bunch of specifications about how they will list you. Think of it this way. iTunes is the Yellow Pages.
Yeah.
Yellow Pages is really popular. It's not the only place you find a business's listing, but it is really popular, and it's the one that everybody knows by name. And iTunes is exactly that. And they are very specific. Now they've upped the graphic size to 1400 by 1400 pixels. They won't even accept a graphic besides that. Now you have to explicitly mark a whole bunch of other features. Now, the good thing about being there is, a lot of people know it. A lot of people have it built in their phones or on their desktops. But they don't need to have it through iTunes, even if they have iTunes on their desktop, to find a podcast. They can subscribe to any podcast that's out there on the web. So what I tell people is, even before this, if you want good promotion, you build a good website that people can find that has the information that's clear and easy to use. So if you don't have that, it kind of doesn't matter where else you've advertised, because you kind of cut them off. They can't find more information about you. They're going to do a Google search most likely to find you half the time, or an iTunes search the other half. There were a whole bunch of directories that used to exist trying to compete essentially with iTunes, trying to present a better way to find podcasts, and God, I wish any of them survived. They really seem like they've all kind of died off.
We used to have Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle. The sites may still be out there, but there's really not a lot.
But there's new ones now. I mean, Google Play just opened up. And
Stitcher.
So we've got limited time, so we want to move on.
I also have another question to help define what is a podcast, because I've seen confusion, especially in the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
What is the defining feature of a podcast versus a YouTube channel versus a webcast versus a blog post?
So the definitive, all you need to be considered a podcast is it needs to be a media file that is being distributed, syndicated using an RSS feed. That's all it needs to be to be a podcast. If you are putting audio or video files and attaching them to blog posts but not through an RSS, that is not a podcast. If you're just doing a YouTube channel, that is not a podcast. You need the RSS feed for it to become the podcast, because then it connects with the user's computer, their phone, whatever, and alerts them when there's a new show and that they can download or stream it or whatever it needs to be. And that is all it needs to be. It could be video, it could be audio. You can even distribute, you know, PDFs, although that's not what people use it for. And if it was only PDFs, that would not really be a podcast, I don't think. But, you know, a lot of times, like, for instance, fiction authors will put a PDF in with or in with their MP3s so that you can have the PDF or whatever. But that's all that it is to be a podcast. And you do not need an iPod or an iPhone or anything else like that to listen to one.
There's a whole song about
yes,
that.
Uncle Seth. Yeah.
Okay, so you've got your bare bones podcast set up, you've got an audience, they're starting to listen, you've managed to save together a few pennies, and you're looking for to upgrade some of your equipment. What do you upgrade first?
Microphone.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually think your room.
That's a good point.
That's actually an excellent point.
I think figuring out how to get rid of room noise is going to help you much more than upgrading your microphone.
Now, that can be done with a blanket.
It can be done with a blanket. You can go into the closet, as most of our founding podcasters did.
In the attic.
They recorded in the closet. You can build yourself a portable...
Cone of silence.
Yes, cone of silence. By taking like old bed the egg carton bed things, and you put them in a box, and you put your microphone in there, and you just speak into it, or you can put the egg cartons on the wall. What I have in my studio is I have moving blankets tacked to the wall to get rid of the echo in my house, you know, things like that, and learn to sweat because you're going to turn the air conditioner off in the summer when you're recording.
No, it's interesting. Everyone...
Yeah,
it's cool.
Oh,
I was just going to offer sort of a slightly wise-ass answer to that. I like both of those. Your ear.
Ooh, yes.
You know, got a dozen episodes, say, out. I deal with fiction writers a lot, and getting to a sort of leveling up where you stop and listen critically and say, you know, maybe my mic is cool, but I need some more moving blankets, or maybe I've done the blankets and my mic. Listen to a few of your favorite podcasts, maybe take a look. How do they sound compared to what I'm doing? Technical side, maybe also narration. Because I think once you start to get an audience, then at that point you've hopefully already got a unique contribution and you've got the basics set up. But then at that point, to me, that's a sort of point to try to start leveling up and maybe separating yourself from other people who are just starting out. And I think listeners will notice that and pick up on that. You know, I can go back and almost pinpoint in my blocks of 10 episodes when things started to get better in little tiny different ways. And I think listeners will notice that.
I think that's an excellent point, Scott, because every time you think about upgrading your microphone, you should also think, do I need to upgrade my headphones? Because you should be editing with headphones on so that you get rid of whatever noise is in your area. But you can't hear anything. You know, your mic may be picking up all bunches of noise stuff, but if your headphones can't put it in your ears, you won't be able to edit it out.
And you want headphones that don't boost the bass or enrich the sound, because you want to hear it clean. You want dynamic headphones. Is that what you were going to say?
Well, actually, one of the things that I teach people at the radio station, how to use a microphone, and it seems like a stupid thing. Why do I need to be taught how to use a microphone? I know how to speak. There's a microphone. It hears me. But microphones don't hear like ears. They hear very, very differently. And learning how to put yourself in front of a microphone so that you get the best quality sound of the microphone, and learning how not to pop your peas and different things like that is really, really important, so that when it comes time to upgrade your microphone, you're not just upgrading the garbage you're throwing into it, too. Because the new microphone will pick up more than you've done before. So now you got to upgrade your skill
and learning how to talk onto the microphone for certain things or back off or find your position and being able to use that dynamically as well.
And you lead into another thing before you even upgrade that microphone. You want a pop filter. Pop filters. Yeah. And
if you see these recorders that we've got here, a couple of them have got
pantyhose on an embroidery circle.
Yeah. Will work just fine.
It's perfect. On a coat hanger.
A literal sock can be used.
A literal sock will be used. Yep. If you see these, they've got little foam socks. You can get these if you have like a regular looking microphone. You can get those for like $5 at the Source or Radio Shack or whatever. Or Amazon. Amazon has like so many things that are stupid cheap. And they just fit right over top. Pop filter.
All right, but before we go to the questions, which I am going to do you first and then you, I want to go back to talk about controlling the sound. A lot of people can create their own soundproof booths. The other thing you can do is you can tune your room. And
yes.
That is a matter of understanding how sound propagates in your room and figuring out how to align yourself. I record in my living room. And I do that by setting myself up based on the angles of my room so the sound goes away from me, bounces off the wall, away from my mic. And basically, by the time I get any echo back, it's so attenuated, it doesn't exist. I get beautiful, quiet room sounds just by understanding my room and tuning it. You can learn how to do this yourself. J. Daniel Sawyer has written an excellent book called Making Tracks that he has a chapter on that. Do you have something to add, Mike?
Also, just taking it a little further, mm-hmm. you can also do noise reduction after the fact if you're using software that allows you to do that, like Cool Edit Pro or Adobe Audition. It's worth learning the noise reduction techniques so you can pull the noise out if you need to.
Right. Yeah. But the sooner you get rid of the noise, the better it is.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Rely on that.
I have actually kind of a reverse question, because I'm a filmmaker, so expense is not something I shy away from.
What's the most expensive?
You are.
How do you rack up costs on a podcast? Like, what's the most expensive? Where are you going to
microphone?
Bandwidth,
mixer.
Bandwidth,
mixer. Mixer.
You can build your own safe room.
Yeah, building your own studio.
Yeah.
Mixers and microphones are all high level items that you put out at
hiring
once.
People to speak for you.
Hiring editors.
Yeah. But bandwidth employees are probably where you're going to pay the most money in the long run.
Absolutely.
You had a question.
Well, I was just going to follow up to Nettie. You talked about Amazon and cheap.
Yeah.
If you are looking for stuff, especially if you're looking to upgrade and kind of know what you want, around the holidays, Amazon Lightning Deals, they will do days that are music. Typically, they're music instrument themed, or music themed. And you can find I got a pop filter, upgraded a mic, and different ears. And I found a very nice, I think the correct name for it, the foam surround behind the mic with the cup for the baffling. All Amazon at 30% of the list price on Lightning Deals. Now you got 15 minutes to buy once you find one of these, so you kind of got to know what you're looking for and go read the reviews and make the choice, which you can get some great deals that way.
Yeah, standard policies for being cheap in general help with podcasting.
Yeah, and if I may, just real quick, Amazon has this great ask a question about an item. Use that feature because... so often you can't tell, am I just buying cheap or is this inexpensive? And for instance, I've gotten into it with Ty Cochran all the time about my boom stand because I've got one of those desk attached to the desk booms for my mic. And he insists I have to pay $200. My $20 one is 3 years in and it's still fantastic. I got it off Amazon and it is all based on asking questions of people who have ordered these before, and I get emails all the time from Amazon from people asking questions, and I always answer them because it's that important.
Okay, we're almost out of time, but since we've got all of these wonderful portable recorders up here, I wanted to address them. This is the Handy Recorder line from Zoom. I'm going to pick these up now, so my editor is going to hate me. This is the Zoom H1. This retails for $100. It takes a micro SD card and one AA battery. It gives you about 10 hours of recording. And it's got two stereo mics in it. It gives you really good portable quality sound. These are also favored from some professional setups because if you need to lavalier somebody, you plug a lavalier input into this, clip the lavalier, put this in the guy's pocket. It is a cheaper setup than most professional lavalier mic setups. This is the Zoom H2. This is retails for around $150, I think.
You can get it for $70.
You can get it for $70 on Amazon or other places.
H1 is cheaper than $100 as well.
Yeah, H1 you can usually find around $80 last time I checked, but it retails for $100.
This is actually the older model. They've actually got a newer model since then.
Yep, there's a newer model.
Same price level. It has a bit more features. It's a bit shiny.
Yep,
it has four microphones in it too, so it can actually pick up effectively. 4-mic almost surround sound.
Mm-hmm. And it can plug into your computer and be used as your computer's microphone.
That's really
yeah. Cool. Yeah, I actually have done that with the H1 too.
Yep.
I only know because it's the one I own.
Okay. This is the H4. The H4 goes a step above. Again, it's got the stereo ones that you can see. But if you are starting to get into XLR mics, the H4 gives you the ability to plug in XLR mics on the bottom. So that you can do portable recording with your nice expensive mics. There is also an H5. So the H4, I got mine when the price dropped to around $200. You might be able to find it as low as $180. There's an H5. There's also an H6, which is around $600, but it's a bit pricey. But they went with a modular design on this. The H6 is the SLR camera of audio. So you start off with the basic kit, and then you buy the modules you need. You can get boom mics for it. You can get extra XLR plugins, so you can use it to rig up more mics. It's a very versatile thing.
You can get them in bundles for $500 if you find it. Yeah,
and you can totally take a USB microphone like a Yeti or a Snowball, and using the camera adapter kit, you can plug it into an iPad and you can record using that. And that's really neat because it's simple to set up. You can carry it around with you so it can be portable, and it's solid state, so you're not going to lose anything.
So this has been Podcasting on the Cheap. I'd like our panelists to pimp their stuff. Laura?
Laura Nicole, Gypsy Pirate. You can find me at gypsylaura.com. I have my podcast there and links to my new book that is on sale right now.
Mike?
I'm Mike Luoma. I've got glowinthedarkradio.com, which is the best place to go to find all my stuff or get into the podcast and listen to episode 400 that just went up this week.
Scott?
Beneath Ceaseless Skies, Hugo Award finalist magazine with about half the stories as audio if you like audio short fiction.
And Caffeinated One.
I am Mark the Caffeinated One at theweirdshow.com for my main show and caffeinated.ca for everything else. And then the radio station itself, if you're curious about how we do things, chsrfm.ca.
Nutty?
And you can find Nutty Bites and all the other podcasts I do, including Beyond the Wall, links to that by going to nimlas.org, nimlas.org, and there's links to social media and everything else there.
And I am Doc Coleman. You can find the Balticon Podcast at balticonpodcast.org. You can find everything else I do at swimmingcatstudios.com or doccoleman.com. Thank you, and please be careful with the other panel coming in as you're going out.
Doubtful.
Rich, could you do me a favor? Could you walk down to 59 and see if Billy Flynn is trying to find this room?
Okay.
Do you know what he looks like?
Not really.
Is that the beach one?
He's got like a mustache that does this, and he's a kind of slender guy.
Sorry,
he's wearing,
yeah, right,
I believe,
right,
a
one,
green
two, four,
lantern shirt right now.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
The DJ from last night.
Yeah, the DJ from last night.
Okay, Billy.
Okay.
The Dog Days of Podcasting is an annual challenge for podcasters and listeners alike. In the month of August, the Dog Days of Summer, a group of intrepid creators gather to produce a show a day for a full month plus. It's the loosest rules of any challenge you'll ever find, so join anytime if you'd like to be a part of the challenge. If you'd like to listen to all the shows, you can find the list of participants, as well as the master feed, at dogdaysofpodcasting.com. There are dozens of podcasters participating this year. The only thing that would make it more fun is you. So come along to dogdaysofpodcasting.com and cool off with some chill podcasts.
Nutty Bites is produced at Nimlas Studios. You can find us on the web at nimlasstudios.org. This work is created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported International License. What that means is you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it, you can't change it, and you have to link back to me, my site, and everything. You can comment and send feedback by going to nimlas.org/nuttybites. You can go to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. You can call the comment line by going to 347-NUTTY42, or you can find me on Twitter, you can search on Google+, you can search the web, you can find me everywhere.